tonight's teaching will be given to us by Father Rick, and the topic tonight is discernment.
Sorry to say, I am not a person that has the natural gift of discernment. Fortunately, I have people in my life who do have that gift. They've been family members and they've been friends and what have you. One that just kind of putters around. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm not here to talk about natural discernment. I'm talking about the gift of God that comes to us as the spiritual gift of discernment in the way that we choose to live our life for God. Those are very special gifts, and if you have the gift, the natural gift of discernment, and make wise choices and decisions, spiritual gift will only enhance that in your life if, in fact, you want to choose to walk the path of Christ. When we read the Gospels, there are times where Jesus comes along with people and clubs them over the head with a very clear discernment that he gives them, and they don't pay any attention. Probably the most obvious one is the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "What does the law say?" And the kid knows all the commandments. And Jesus says, "You got it." And the kid asks a very important question, the young man, I should say, I guess. He says, "But what else? What else should I do? What else? What's lacking?" And Jesus gives him a very real, deep discernment and insight. And he says to him, "If you really want to be perfect, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And then come follow me." And the guy said, "So long, see you later." And out the door he goes. We have a couple of the people that came to Jesus after his preaching and said, "Well, I'll follow you, but I first want to say goodbye to my family." And another one says, "Well, I'll come, but I'll come only after my father dies and I get to bury him." And Jesus says, "Don't work that way. Come and follow me now." And they walk away. The thing is, we see what the apostles do. Jesus says to them, "Come and follow me." And what does Simon and Peter and James and John? They drop everything. They get out of their boats full of fish. "Bye, Dad. See you around." Whoomp. Off they go. And where does that gift come from? I think it comes from the fact that probably if we would look at those fishermen, they were very, very, very faithful Jewish people. They lived the faith that they professed and understood. And they came to understand that as Jesus, I'm sure, preached and was friends with John, that they saw him and understood him a little bit more. Maybe they were there at his baptism. Maybe they heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But anyway, when Jesus lays out his discernment for these people, they said, "All right, that's what we're going to do." We have to understand that God walks with us. Even if we aren't Christian, even if we aren't baptized, God still walks with us. But if we have those special gifts of being baptized and brought into the faith and have a relationship with Christ, he is there for us. He is not there just to yell at us when we sin, or to hit us over the head with a stick and say, "Shape up." Now, he wants to lead us and guide us. But we ourselves have to open ourselves to prayer that allows us for that discernment to come before God and say, "God, you know, the old proverbial fork in the road. Where should I go? Which direction? Where do you want me to follow you?" Maybe we have some good suggestions. Maybe we've talked to people. Maybe we've seen some things and we say, "Well, these all look good, and maybe they all seem pretty even." Yeah, we can flip a coin, I guess, and say, heads, I do this, tails, I do that. Or we can come before God and say, God, let me understand where you want me to be. I want to be open to it, whether it's easy or difficult. That's not the problem. The problem is I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live the life you want me to live. And it may not be the life that other people live. I'm not necessarily called to try to imitate Fred or Mary or Tom or Joanne or whatever. I'm here to live and follow Christ down the path that he wants me to follow. Now, I may have some good examples. I may see people that are very holy and very good. But I'm not necessarily called to imitate them. But I can recognize that these people have lived a life where they have said, I am going to follow Christ down his path for me. And because of that, they live, as human beings do, with God's grace and strength, with sin in the world, they live exemplary lives. They really show us what it means to have the spiritual gift of discernment that allows us to see where God wants us to go. I just, not too long ago, had a funeral for a young boy. He was not that young, but he was only in his 60s. He came down with an unfortunate blood disease. But his family was very holy. He was a good person, and all his brothers and sisters had been very holy people, really. But the thing that always struck me is that with all these six or seven brothers and sisters that they had in the family, when their father died, their mother entered a cloistered convent. Now, not everybody is called to do that. The last person you would think would be a mother of seven children. And that was rather interesting to see his obituary, the son of John Smith and Sister Mary Jane. You know, it's just kind of a shock there, but nonetheless true. Nonetheless true. And so it's not trying to come along and impress people. It's not coming along trying to say, well, if I do this or do that, maybe people will admire me or accept me more or whatever it is. That has nothing to do with it. It is that God comes along and says, this is where I want you to go. This is where I want you to be. This is how I want you to live. These are the things I want you to do. Whatever it is that we look at our lives and say, where is it that at this stage in my life God wants me to do? How does he want me to live? It may be a very simple life, it may be a more complicated life. But the thing is that we just don't pray and stand around with our finger in our ear. We have to ask God for that gift of what kinds of things should I be looking for? Where is it that you might be leading me? And pray that he shows us those things. Pray that he gives us some inclination, and he may very well give us choices. But the thing is, people many times today in our world just live. They don't worry necessarily about God. They don't necessarily worry about even the things in this world. They just go. And many of those people wind up suicidal because they look at their lives and say, what a waste this has been. And it's leading me nowhere. When Jesus died on the cross, there were two people that died with him that did exactly that. Their life led them nowhere except to the cross. But somewhere along the line, that one guy must have had an inkling that there's more to it. Because he said, Lord, remember me. And that's all that it took. God led him through a crummy life to the cross and to eternal life. But we don't have to go that route. We can go the route that he wants us to go if we pay attention, if we pray and listen, if we ask and clarify, because there is a genuine spiritual gift of discernment that allows us to understand exactly where God wants us to be and how he wants us to be. When you look at John Vianney, I'm always amazed at the guy. The guy was, I mean, I hate to say this, but the guy was stupid. He couldn't learn garbage. He couldn't learn Latin. He couldn't learn Greek. He couldn't remember the stuff that he was supposed to do. He knew God was calling him to be a priest. And he got thrown out of the seminary 3 or 4 times. Finally, a pastor said, John, I will teach you. And after he taught him, the pastor said, asked him one day, as they were trying to get something into his head, he said, well, what's your favorite Bible story? You know, and it was a story about Jesus and somebody, I don't remember what the story was. But he said, maybe it was a Good Shepherd or something. But anyway, he says, I really like this story. And he says, well, why don't we just study that for a while? Because you really like that. Came time for exams, and John was the last man in the list to be brutally criticized by the teachers. They did this to all the seminarians. You know this, you know that. What's canon law? What's the scriptures? How do you say mass? They had to go all through this, all orals. And they went through all the students, and John was the last one, and he came in, and they were all beat late in the day.
John, you're the last one. We're tired.
Why don't you tell us your favorite Bible story? And he zipped through it, told them the whole thing and what it meant to him and all that. They said, okay, you know that better than anybody we've ever heard. So you're on the list to be ordained. And when he was ordained, they said, this guy is so stupid. Put him out there in that little place. Then Napoleon has taken over and runs, and let him sit there until he dies. So that's what they did. And he would go there and say mass in the church, which had been turned into a stable. And he'd say mass with all the horses, the stable hands that would be in there. And they would all laugh at him because he was so stupid that he wouldn't even ask them to leave. He just would say mass every day in the stable with the horses. What horses do. After some time, they said, there's something different about this man. And they decided to take the horses out and clean the stable and make it a decent church. And people started to hear about it. And he said, it's a great mass. And then somebody said, I need to go to confession. And he said, okay, I'll hear your confession. And when they walked in, he says, now these are your sins, and you have to be sorry for them. And he didn't even confess, but he knew them. And people would leave and say, I walked in there, and he knew my sins before he said anything. He stayed at ours till the day he died, and the confession line was outside the city limits every day. He heard confession. He would say mass in the morning and hear 14 to 17 hours of confession every day. But he was a stupid idiot that God gave him, and he discerned it as a priest, and God helped him. God calls us, and if we're going to ask him, we have to listen. We have to take the time to say, God, where do you want me to be? And I mean it. Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? And then when he tells you, say, not for me. Thanks, so long. I'm on my own. No, if we ask, we have to put it into practice. And we just don't ask and act. We have to let God lead us. I remember I ran into a couple that lived down in Mexico, and they knew they were called to go to Africa and work the missions. So they got all this money up, and they decided to come to the United States and get their stuff together and go. And it was a big bust. Didn't work. And they didn't understand it. And they were talking to a priest, and he says, well, did God tell you to go? And they said, well, we knew that's where we had to be. And they said, but did he tell you to go? And he said, no, we just decided that's where we go, so we got everything together and went. You wait for him to tell you when to go. Wait. And they had to wait for 6 or 7 more years. Finally, somebody came and said, we want to fund you and what you want to do in Africa. And they did. And it became a very successful mission. But they didn't listen. They didn't pay any attention. They got a bright idea and said, this is from God, let's go. God will speak to us. He will speak to us through others. He will speak to us in our thoughts. He will speak to us in our dreams. He will speak to us in disembodied voices. He may call us. He may drive us. He may put us there. But the thing is, I have to be open to pray that when that discernment comes, I recognize it, I accept it, and I act on it. If I think it's just a piece of garbage or just something that's a bone thrown to satisfy my curiosity or something, doesn't work. We have to be committed. And when we do that, God will show us what to do. I could tell you things on my hand, I don't know how many, 5 or 6 times, 7, that God said, Richard, you're going to do this. And there was opposition. There was difficulty. There was problems. But I really tried to pray and say, what do you want me to do with this? And time again, God showed the way. And even when I had doubts, he gave me people who told me that what I had done was what God wanted, because God told them that. And they came and told me. And sometimes they didn't even know what that was. All they said is, go tell him that that's what I wanted. And it's because we have to say, God, I trust you. God, I know you have something for me. And I know you want me to live in a particular way. I am open. And with your grace and your gifts, I promise that my discernment will be always according to your will and with the guidance of your love and care. And God does and will work wonders in your life, because that's what he wants to do. And those people in the New Testament that turned their back on Jesus, we don't know their names, but we know the 12 apostles, because when Jesus said, come follow me, they said, all right, we'll go right now because you've called.